preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Jesus, you are good. We worship you, Lord. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God manifested in the flesh. The only one who died for sin, rose from the dead. You paid the price for our sins, Lord. We thank you that you never sinned. You paid that price, Lord. Said that we must believe, we must repent, we must follow. We can be forgiven of every sin, have eternal life. And even some of your blessings and your presence in this life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome those of you here at Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. I want to share this morning the prophetic word, I believe, the message the Lord just dropped in my heart the other day. I guess it was, we were trying to figure it out, if it was right before Thanksgiving, maybe not quite 2 weeks ago. But I didn't say it immediately because I just wanted to pray over it. But I do want to back up a little bit because the Lord wants us to understand something. I'm going to share this today because I want you to understand that there's both Bible prophecy, written prophecy, and the gift of prophecy. All right? And the Bible talks about both. Now, of course, the Word of God, what's written, is supreme above everything else. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today. I know there's a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, a lot of Bible schools, a lot of theologians, a lot of pastors, a lot of ministers out there that don't believe that. But that's their choice. The Word of God says that not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of other tongues, for all those who would believe, even those who are afar off, as it says in Acts 2, but also the gift of prophecy. And I want to show you something. I want us to go to Acts chapter 2 first this morning. Acts chapter 2. And as you're turning there, just want to give you, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we get the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been done away with or have ceased. There are many out there that try to say that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away, whether there be tongues, will cease, whether there be prophecies, they will fail. But they always take it out of context, and they always create this idea. They say, well, and when it says that which is perfect is come is when those things will cease. Well, what they say is that which is perfect, when the canon of the Bible came or was completed, they said that that's when the Bible was completed, that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit were done away with for the church. Well, that's ludicrous because if you take the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you find out that that which is perfect is come refers to when we see Jesus face to face. Paul goes on to say, when we see him face to face. And then, of course, the word, when it says that which is perfect is come, the word in the Greek there means the coming of Jesus Christ, the final coming. Thayer's Greek dictionary bears this out too. So anyway, what I'm saying is most churches out there deny the gifts, reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they are still for today, including the gift of prophecy. Now, there are some, even within the charismatic and Pentecostal realm, that says that the gift of prophecy is only for edification, encouragement, comfort, exhortation, and comfort. They use the verse, 1 Corinthians 14:3. That's where they pull that from. But just because the Bible says prophecy does those three things doesn't say in that verse whatsoever that that's where it's limited to. And when we look up the word prophecy, we find out that it means to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit But it also means to foretell events before they happen. You look it up in the Greek dictionary, the Strong's Greek dictionary, that's what you find, right? So prophecy means to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit is inspiring you with something that may be encouraging, it may be exhorting or convicting, it may be comforting, but it also may be something to warn you of something that's to come. It may produce the fear of the Lord in your life and make you wake up and do take some actions. And I say that because did not God forewarn Noah that there was going to be a great flood and that he was to build an ark? And it says Noah feared the Lord. And so he obeyed and he built the ark and he saved himself and his family from the coming judgment. All right? But that was God telling him something before it happened. God told him about the flood and told him how to prepare before it happened. Okay? So I want to share with you some things, and I share these things today not because I'm trying to brag on myself. I'm really trying to encourage you that all of us, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, you may all may prophesy. And he was talking to born-again Christians. Now, you have to be born again. You have to truly believe Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead on the third day. You have to have confessed Jesus as Lord, repented of your sin, turned from sin, and begun a true life of following Jesus, being a disciple, knowing that you've been touched by the Holy Spirit and you've been saved. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and especially if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence, the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, as it is in every instance in the Bible, in the New Testament, then you truly have stepped into the doorway to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But as Paul said, he said, you know, tongues is great. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you Corinthians. And the Corinthians, all of them were excited about speaking in tongues. They loved that gift. But Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you to the Corinthians. Yet, in the church, I would rather hear someone prophesy. I would rather hear someone speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and foretell of events to come than anything else in the church. More than miracles, more than healing, more than anything, he said, I would rather that you prophesy. Why? Because prophecy strengthens us. The gift of prophecy strengthens us and warns us and prepares us and encourages us to get closer to Jesus. In fact, the word exhortation in 1 Corinthians 14:3, the word exhortation means to call nearer to Christ. So true prophecy should strengthen us. That's the word edification means. It should exhort us. And that means to call us near to Christ. That means it should point out things. If there are things in your life that's keeping you separated from God, sin or rebellion or disobedience, those things should be exposed and confronted. Right? But it also means to comfort you. I know sometimes prophecy, God gives me prophetic words for people to encourage them when they're going through a hard time or whatever. It's for that too. But it's also to warn you of events that are to come. Now, this has happened in my life many times. I could give many examples. And I'm going to share some of these things today. I've shared them on our website, articles, but I want to show how this has worked in my life over the last several years and really for a long time. But the Lord gave me a word for 2016, and I believe it's not a nice word. And I think it's something that we need to take to heart and prepare, and I'm going to tell you why. But let's back up a little bit. I can give you one of the most powerful ones the Lord gave me, and this was back in 2000, December 31st of 2000, the year 2000. And I was pastoring a church in Montgomery, Alabama, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, son, this year will be a year of tragedy. Now, I didn't know what that means. Sometimes the Lord doesn't always tell us exactly what it means, but the word tragedy is not good, right? And so I didn't know what it was, but it inspired me not to fear, but to pray. You see what I'm saying? It inspired me to pray, and I thought, you know, I really felt initially in my spirit that if something bad would happen to our nation, I thought maybe there would be an assassination attempt on President Bush at the time, or that something, you know, something big was going to happen. I didn't know what it was. Only the Lord told me at that time, and this was December 31st, 2000, he said, this will be a year of tragedy. You move forward 9 months later, and I shared this to our church, and I shared this on a Sunday morning in our church, not long after that. 9 months later, September 9th, 2001, Sunday morning, preaching. I'm preaching on the blessings of God. I've shared this with you guys, but we have new listeners all the time, so I don't take it for granted. But September 9th, 2000, I'm preaching in front of our entire church, probably about 50 people there, 50, 60 people at the time. And I'm preaching to the whole church, and I said, there will be a terrorist attack on New York City and Washington, D.C. I know it was just the Holy Spirit. I had, my mind was not on that. I was not thinking of a terrorist attack. I was not thinking of New York City or Washington, D.C. At that time, there had been no big acts of terrorism in the United States of America, so it wasn't even on my mind that morning, not at all. And this is what I'm talking about. It was just a supernatural inspiration of the Holy Spirit to inspire me to speak those words when I had no intention. It was not in my sermon. It was not in my notes. There was no part of it. Of course, 2 days later, on Tuesday morning, September 11th, 2001, we know what happened. Now, it also became very personal for me because it was also the same year, in November of 2001, when all hell hit my life. And I ended up in a divorce that I didn't want. I noticed recently someone Googled Dean Odle divorce, so I guess they're trying to dig up dirt on me. I got news for you. I've got the divorce papers. I didn't get it. So hint, hint, right? You know all the dirt you need to know. I didn't cheat, and I didn't beat, right? Yeah. Not trying to hide anything. Yes, I went through a divorce. The separation began in November of 2001. It was one of the most devastating times of my life that I ever went through. I did not want it. I tried to fight it, but the other party was determined that's what was going to happen. So that's what happened, and I went through hell for the next several years. So the year of tragedy had more than one meaning for me. God spoke that word because it was for our nation, September 11th, and then it was for me personally. And I realized that I didn't even pray. I didn't pray probably as I didn't take it as seriously, the warning, as much. What was interesting is, and again, total surprise, let me just share this. You know, there were no big fights going on in my previous marriage. Financially, doing great. Just bought a new house with a pool, two $40,000 cars, do whatever I wanted whenever I wanted. I mean, we were fine. Kids were fine. Church was growing. 2 months, though, before I got word about this. I didn't plan this morning, but for some reason, I guess we need to cover this. But about 2 months before she handed me divorce papers, 2 months before that, I had a dream that she divorced me. And I woke up and told her. Little did I know, I found out later, she was planning it then. Must have shocked the stew out of her. But that's a prophetic dream. All right. So dreams forewarn you of things. And I have to say this, because this part I do have to say today, is many of you are not paying close enough attention to your dreams and the warnings you get in your dreams. The Lord wanted me to say that to you this morning. God always has always used dreams and visions and prophetic words to warn his people, and he will warn you in dreams. And if you get hard-headed and don't listen to it, you can't say you weren't warned. All right? Joseph was warned, Pharaoh was warned, Nebuchadnezzar was warned. You need to pay attention. Now, some of your dreams are because you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. I understand that. Some of them are just wacko, but you need to pay attention. God speaks through dreams, and I'll show you that. Let's go to Acts. I told you to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's read it. Start reading at verse 14. This is right after the day. This is on the day of Pentecost when the church was in the upper room praying. 120, the 11 apostles at that time. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Peter stands up in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor or pillars of smoke, as it says in Joel. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable or terrible day of the Lord come." Now, for those that say the gift of prophecy was done away with either in the first century or when the apostles passed away, or when the scriptures became fully brought together in the canon as it is now, they have a problem here, because the Bible said, God said, "I will pour out my Spirit in the last days, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will have visions, both male and female will prophesy." That means they will speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That means they will be shown things before they happen through dreams, through visions, through the gift of prophecy. Right up to the time of judgment. Right up to the time of the pillars of smoke. See? There's no gift of the Holy Spirit been done away with. You can quench the Holy Spirit if you want to by not believing the Bible. But the Bible's true, and every man's a liar. Amen? Now, let me share with you, because recently, and I want you to be ready, too, to share your dream. The alligator, in a second. Or just tell me. This, I know you have it on your phone, because you're more diligent than I am to write these things down. So I know you have it on your phone. I could give many examples, but I'm going to share with you. For some reason, since 2000, or God gave me that word for 2001, I didn't really get a lot of word of prophecy, matter of fact, none, for the year to come, like before the year happened, until December 31st of 2013. And I wasn't feeling well that night. We were supposed to go to Kevin's house for a little, you know, New Year's Eve get together, and I just didn't feel well, and so Nancy and Faith went on, and I stayed home, and I just prayed, and I was praying right before we entered the new year, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and I'm going to read this. This is on our website, and we put it on there shortly thereafter. But the Lord gave me the word on December 31st, 2013, for the year 2014, and the word was unprecedented. It's what was interesting is I posted it on Facebook, and it was shared by many others, and since then it disappeared from Facebook. Facebook didn't like that one, I guess. I said, but anyway, the Lord shared it with him, and this is what he said to me. He said, unprecedented. He said, and I'd never heard that word before, and the Lord spoke to me and said it would be on all levels. And God revealed that unprecedented events would happen this year in our military, our economy, really world economy, our environment. And I said here, unprecedented terrorist attacks and unprecedented warfare. And so that was what blew my mind. Of course, it began to happen almost immediately because just a few days later, we had the coldest winter on record. Literally, the article said unprecedented weather. We had the coldest winter ever in history in North America. Broke records in 49 states, broke records in Canada, broke records even in Mexico for cold. And then it just went on and on. There were unprecedented the distress of nations. This is when Russia moved against the Ukraine and took Crimea. That has definitely an unprecedented event. So it was in military. Of course, there were movements by Russia, China, and all these other nations to create BRIC, the BRIC nations to create another world currency and another banking system, and that's still in the process of happening. But the terrorism is what was interesting. Just a few days ago, I guess maybe a couple of weeks ago, CNN posted this. CNN, let me see if I can pull it up here. Because sometimes, you know, you have to go back. But some of you can see it here, CNN. The report here was from, it was from November 19, 2015 on CNN. It says Boko Haram, which is an Islamic terrorist group in Nigeria, overtakes ISIS as world's deadliest terror group. Is that right there? That's the article by CNN. But this is what it says here. If you scroll down a little bit, what does that say right there, Mr. Patrick? Right there.
2014 was the deadliest year on record for terrorists following dramatic rise of global terrorism.
2014 was the deadliest year on record for terrorism following the dramatic rise in global terror. 32,658 people were killed in terrorist attacks. What I'm saying is, listen to God. In 2015, the Lord gave me this word, and it was right around Thanksgiving time of 2014, but he gave me a word for 2015 that there would be a convergence of Bible prophecies in 2015, and that things would speed up. You would see everything in the Bible prophecy realm speeding up. That means the race toward World War III, Russia in the Middle East, everything the Bible foretold, some of the prophecies 2,600 years old, he said they will speed up, right? Well, think about what happened already in 2015, and we're still not out of it yet. But in 2015, we saw an unprecedented event in America that is the fulfillment of a Bible prophecy. And what is that? The Supreme Court of the United States made gay marriage legal in all 50 states in America. Now you say, well, Pastor Dean, how is that a Bible prophecy? Well, Jesus foretold in Luke 17, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in the days of Lot, what did you have? Why did God come down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it's very clear. It says that the men in Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked exceedingly. And they were so wicked, even when they saw strangers, which of course were angels that had appeared as men, they wanted to rape those angels. And they weren't satisfied. They wanted to break into Lot's house, kill him, and rape these angels. And God said, I've had enough. Now, what's interesting about Sodom and Gomorrah is it doesn't just say, reveal the aggressive, militant homosexuality that wasn't satisfied with their gay bars and gay parades, but they wanted to force themselves into the only little home of righteousness, the only little spot of righteousness that was in Sodom, which was Lot's house. The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. And that's why you're seeing these homosexuals now. They're wanting to push their force their way into every church. They want to be allowed to work in every church. They want to be allowed to stay in every church. They want to push their way into everything. And the Supreme Court basically okayed that. 2015. Well, at the same time, 2015, we saw the interesting convergence of what many believe was the Bethlehem star, what happened in the heavens, the same thing that happened between the planet Jupiter and the star Regulus forming the Bethlehem star, which happened twice this year. A witness of the birth of Jesus Christ, of his first coming. What might that be saying? That we are approaching his second coming. Jesus said, the apostles, the prophets said there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. This year, solar eclipse, two lunar eclipses. There's been a convergence. Now, you want me to tell you one of the biggest things that's converged in 2015, Bible prophecy-wise? So we have the days of Lot converging. We have the signs in the heavens converging in 2015. When Russia, Gog and Magog, moved into Syria, into the Middle East, and started fighting a war. That right there is one of the biggest events, and allied with Iran or Persia, one of the biggest events in Bible prophecy, setting up the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, 2,600-year-old prophecy that says Gog and Magog, the ancient Russians, would come from the north, join with Persia, Iran, and other states around Israel, and eventually attack Israel. I'm going to get to that. The Lord gave me, too, a prophetic dream in September of this year. You know what he gave? I remember I shared it in church. And I was out in the woods hunting. And I knew it was right at the beginning of hunting season. Well, you guys know when hunting season begins, it's like the week of Thanksgiving every year, deer season. Because I had my deer rifle and I was going out in the woods to hunt deer. And I had gotten on this trail and I noticed that I was hidden kind of on this animal trail because I figured some deer would come down this trail. And so I was behind some bushes and I saw some baby cub bears roaming around the woods. And I thought, that's odd. I mean, I've lived in Alabama most of my life, besides some time in Texas and Washington, D.C. and Arkansas. I've lived here most of my life. I've been in the woods a lot in my life. I've never seen a bear. Now, I'm finding out they're becoming more common. I didn't know that, but I've never seen one hunting or cutting wood or working out there. But anyway, I saw these bears, and all of a sudden the little ones trickled off and, you know, left and, you know, moseyed on, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good. And then all of a sudden, coming down this trail, I saw this massive bear. A lot of people don't realize bears can get moving pretty fast. You know, you can't outrun one, right? They can climb trees, too. So, pretty much you run across them unarmed, you're in trouble. You better start praying. But I'm in there, and I see this massive bear coming down the trail, and he's running. He wasn't running at first, but then he started running, and he was running straight at me. And I couldn't tell in the dream, I couldn't tell if he had seen me or if he was just running down the trail, but he was running fast. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not out here to bear hunt, but if I don't kill this thing, it might kill me. So I remember in the dream, it was so vivid, it was so real. I pull up rifle and I get it in a scope and I'm like, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. Boom! It keeps running for just a second and I thought I missed. There's no way I missed and that fellow was dead. Well, I asked the Lord what that meant because I felt like it was from him. Well, you know what happened right about the same time? In the Middle East, Russia had already moved in Syria, fighting against those trying to overthrow Assad, meaning fighting against U.S. trained forces that are trying to overthrow Assad. But Turkey shot down a Russian jet in that week. The week deer season started. And Russia then sped up everything. Because not only did Turkey shoot down one of their fighter jets, it shot down a helicopter that was searching for the pilot. Russia is furious. So Russia sending 150,000 troops, heavy armor, S-300, S-400 missiles. Everything sped up now. They begin attacking Turkish positions in Syria. It's an all-out war now. Russia against United States-trained factions in Syria, and Russia against Turkey, and Russia against the Islamic State. Pretty bad when we realize the United States is on the wrong side. Somebody saw a picture on Facebook the other day. Said, "You want to stop ISIS? To take out their leader." And it was a picture of Barack Hussein Obama. He has funded them. He has armed them. He has supported them. And I'm going to get to that. Obama, a lot of people think Obama's the Antichrist. I tell you, they got good reasons why they think that. He hates Christians. He's funded, supported, and armed the people in the Middle East who are killing, wiping out Christianity, beheading Christians. It does look like he is the Antichrist. I don't believe he is, though. Because the Antichrist is going to come looking like a man of peace first. We haven't fully entered into that, but I'll get on to that in a second, because a former Illuminati member talked about there will be a fake Antichrist before the real Antichrist comes, and the fake Antichrist will look evil, and people will think he's the Antichrist, and then the false Messiah will come to save us from the Antichrist. And so the Illuminati said that's always been the plan, to set up a person who would appear to be the Antichrist, to fake everybody off. So, we'll get on that in a second. But let me give you this word the Lord gave me for 2016, and it's real simple. Chaos. Total and complete chaos. Over the last few years, things have been building. But let's put this definition of this word up here, chaos. The word chaos, and I heard this, I was not even praying, I wasn't praying about 2016. In fact, I think I was getting ready to go somewhere, getting dressed, and I just heard the Spirit of God just drop that word in me. He said, chaos for 2016. I was like, whoa. The word chaos means complete disorder and confusion. Disorder, disarray, disorganization, confusion, mayhem, bedlam, pandemonium, havoc, turmoil, tumult, commotion. Remember that one. Commotion, disruption, upheaval, uproar. Behavior so unpredictable as to appear random owing to great sensitivity to small changes in conditions. So, I looked up another part of this. Let's look up put the next word up. I can't remember, was it mayhem I looked up? Yes, mayhem. It's interesting that mayhem says here, violent or damaging disorder, chaos. So mayhem is a synonym for chaos, but look what it says here. In law and historically, the word mayhem means the crime of maliciously injuring or maiming someone originally so as to render the victim defenseless. Let me explain to you who's creating the chaos. It's Islam. I want to show you an old prophecy from Genesis. Go to Genesis 16. We're going to talk about an ancient prophecy here. went all the way back to the days of Abraham. Because I want to talk to you about Islam just a little bit. Islam is very prominent in Bible prophecy. They claim to be the final revelation of God, the Creator, but they don't even know the Creator. Allah is not the Creator. Not even close. Muhammad, listen, folks, they say Muhammad is the perfect example of a man of God or a prophet. And yet Muhammad married a six-year-old girl. And yes, did what you think he did. He was a pedophile. Muhammad also took his adopted son's wife from him and committed adultery, took her away from him. So he was an adulterer, he was a pedophile, and not just with Aisha that he married at 6 years old, but with little boys and other stuff. This is admitted in the Hadith and the Sunnah. Even Aisha herself tells about what he did to her. You know, he married her when she was 6 years old and he was in his 50s. That shows a demonically possessed, sick man. Not a prophet of God. The Quran, he admits, there are a thing called the satanic verses in the Quran that he decided to take out. But he admitted Satan spoke through him and used him. It's really one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen in my life that anyone would dream even for a moment that Islam is the representation of the true God of heaven, the Creator, or that they would dream for a second that Islam is a religion of peace. And you know what happened in California? What was his name? Saeed Farooq and his bride she was originally from Pakistan, but had spent time in Saudi Arabia, pledged allegiance to ISIS. But that he got in an argument. They were already planning a mass terrorist attack. Their home was a bomb-making factory. So they were already planning it. But what he decided to do was he was at work, and there was a man at work who was a Messianic Jew. That means he was a Jewish man that was a Christian. He was a born-again Christian, believed Jesus was the Messiah, and they had been going back and forth about Islam and whether Islam was a religion of peace or not. This man was witnessing to this Muslim, and this Muslim had already threatened to kill him. So when this guy decided, he went to the Christmas party, and he decided, you know what, honey babe from Pakistan, we're going to go. This guy had memorized the Quran. And let me just say this real clear here. I'm going to give you some verses in a minute from the Quran. Any Muslim who says that they are not radical just simply means that they're a Muslim not yet practicing what the Quran teaches. But most of them, even though they may not be radical, admire the ones who will kill you because you're a Christian or a Jew. That's why they don't stop them. Right? But folks, what we're looking at, what happened in California, was not just a terrorist attack. It was directed to kill this Christian. And so he decides that they were going to go out on their Islamic killing spree, fulfilling what the Quran says. And so he decides that this Christian, Messianic Jew Christian, I'm going to kill first. That's why he went there. So what you saw here was a Christian who was martyred for his faith, trying to be a witness to a Muslim in the United States. Not in Iraq or Syria. Here. And it's not the first one. And Barack Obama wants to let more of these people in the country. How does this woman get in the country? How does she get through Department of Homeland Security giving them a fake address? And she gets in, gets a visa. She had pledged allegiance to ISIS. She had a fake address, and she gets by Department of Homeland Security. But let me say something. something about the president being assassinated, and I'll get a Secret Service visit. Folks, what I'm telling you is the tide has turned. The times have changed. Christians and Jews are public enemy number one. And the world, from Germany to France to Barack Obama, they want these people to just let them flood in Europe and America. And what you don't know is that they are going to be allowed by the powers that be, the Illuminati, the elite, the globalists, because what they believe is order out of chaos. Let's put up the Freemason symbol here and show you this. The Scottish Rite, of course, it's in Latin up there, Ordo Ab Caelo, or Caelo. It means order out of chaos. It's the 33rd. It's the motto of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite, Freemasonry. 33rd degree Freemasons are Satanists. They know they're worshiping Lucifer. They're all in on the plan. The plan has always been, listen to this, the plan of the elite, the Satanists, the Luciferians, the globalists, the world leaders, has always been to create or allow chaos, to bring their new world order in. That's why they won't secure our borders. That's why they want to flood our country with Muslim, radical Muslims. They want to end America as we know it. And they want to create this chaos so that you will beg for martial law. You will beg for the government to save you. But they created the problem in the first place. And that's always been their idea. Now you think about this. See? Order out of chaos, in old Latin, ordo ab cal, a Latin expression meaning order out of chaos, a motto of the 33rd degree, having the same illusion as the whatever that means, which we see in work. The invention of this motto is to be attributed to the Supreme Council of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. This is as high up as it goes. This is the plan. Now the woman, and I hadn't forgot Genesis 16. Did you turn there? Or did I tell you Genesis 16? Let me read to you what this former Illuminati member said, and I believe her. She made this statement. If I can find where I put it here in my notes. Well, maybe I can. Oh, yeah, I know where it is. But she made a statement about this, and I find it very interesting because she said that this was the plan all along, right? Her name is Carolyn Hamlet. There's a video interviewing her, and this is what she says. She exposes the Illuminati plan to fake the Antichrist along with bringing an increasing level of chaos to the earth. This will be done first in order to set the stage for the revealing of the false Messiah, who will be the true Antichrist. This is very likely the great delusion spoken of in the scripture, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. This plan is not of earthly origin, she says, but comes directly from Lucifer and then down through the chain through the ascended masters that he uses before being channeled to the deceived humans who are following the plan. The top Illuminists answer directly to the fallen angels. Says in this interview, the stunning reality of how powerful the delusion will be is brought out. Carolyn stresses the absolute importance of knowing who the real Jesus is so that you won't be fooled by the counterfeit one. But she said the plan has always been to bring this new world order that will appear as if it's saving us. See, let me explain something to you. In 1991, Saddam Hussein had the fourth largest army in the world. Think about that. His oil money in Iraq, his reign for decades, he had built the fourth largest army in the world. Then he decides to invade Kuwait. His real sin, the reason he got the wrath of the Americans and the coalition forces, because, and you don't hear this, because he decided he was not going to sell Iraqi oil in U.S. dollars anymore, but in gold. They go, oh, no, you're not. So when he invaded Kuwait, which was a former province of Iraq, Syria, just like Crimea was a former province of Russia, Russia decided they wanted it back. Saddam Hussein decided he wanted Kuwait back. So he invades Kuwait. I'm not saying Saddam was a good guy. He was not. Yeah, at all. Right? But think about this. We moved 500,000 troops into position, Operation Desert Shield. And then we began Operation Desert Storm, primarily American planes, American tanks, American armored divisions. Operation Desert Shield becomes Operation Desert Storm. And in 6 weeks, you hear what I'm saying? 6 weeks, one of the most, one of the largest armies, one of the most well-trained, one of the most well-equipped armies in the world, in 6 weeks, they were completely destroyed. And we can't stop ISIS. We can't stop Iran. No, we don't want to. The powers that be, the Satanists, the Illuminati, the ruling elite, the world rulers that we're told in Psalm 2 would conspire together. They know that Islam is a useful tool to create the chaos, to kill the Christians and try to annihilate the Jewish state of Israel, to do that. So they let them do it. That's why Obama, that's why England, that's why France, that's why all these countries and all these leaders behind the scenes fund these radical Muslims like the Mujahideen going all the way back to the 1980s. And the Taliban before that. Yeah, we funded them, we equipped them, we trained them, and then they decide to go off on their own, and then we go to war with them a little bit, and then we find a new group. They want to use the Muslims because they know the Muslims, if they believe the Quran, are going to go and kill the Christians and the Jews and try to annihilate Israel. And that's the goal of Satan, Lucifer. He wants to annihilate Israel because it's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It stands there as a witness to the scriptures and to the Messiah, who is a Jewish Messiah named Jesus Christ. He wants to wipe out Israel so that the Bible prophecies, he can say they were wrong. He wants to wipe out the Christians just because he just hates us with a passion. And so, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, McCain, they want to let these people in here. They want to let these people in here to kill you. Folks, we have been betrayed by our leaders. Been in the works for a long time. You hear what I'm saying? The chaos that's coming in 2016 will be multifaceted. It will be Islam turned loose in the United States of America. It will be financial upheaval. It will be political upheaval. You think we've been in it? You think we've seen commotion and chaos and tumult? You think Ferguson and Baltimore is all that's coming? Let the government cut off the EBT cards. We've been set up, folks. You know what keeps ringing in my head? And someone's not going to like this, but I don't care. What keeps ringing in my head is a line from the movie We Were Soldiers, when they were surrounded by that, being attacked on every side. I think it was, what's the guy with the voice? Sam Elliott. You know, he's the sergeant major. Of course, he had some flowery language. But they were getting overwhelmed. They were being attacked on every side. And I remember in that movie, he screams out, "Prepare to defend yourself." See, I don't believe Christians should just lay down, especially a man. Let me just say this. No man should just lay down. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. Should lay down and let these animals and demon-possessed Islamic freaks rape and kill our women and children. It ain't going to happen. That's why they're going after the guns of Americans. And that's why all you hear, guns are the problem, guns are the problem. We need gun laws. We need gun. Obama's going to be on tonight talking about how we need new gun laws. No, you're saying you want to violate the Constitution of the United States because you don't want Christians to be able to protect themselves. You're going to flood this country with radical Muslims and then say that we can't have guns. Where are the pipe bomb laws? Wait a minute. There's already laws against turning your apartment into a bomb-making factory, right? It didn't stop. The laws didn't stop the bad people from making the pipe bomb. Gun laws do not stop people from breaking those laws. California place, the health department where the shooting took place, was a gun-free zone. It always happens in a gun-free zone. I got news for you. Islam, Barack Obama, anybody else, my house, not a gun-free zone. Come try to get them. Time, you draw a line in the sand. Enough is enough. See, we were warned all the way back in Genesis that the descendants of Ishmael, you say, well, you sound racist, Pastor. I don't care. Arab people who are not Muslim are wonderful people. They really are. This is not about race. This is about a demonic religion. Genesis 16. Y'all with me? I don't even know where to start here. Let's see. This is when Hagar had become, Sarah wanted Abraham to go into Hagar and have a baby by Hagar because they couldn't have children, and she has Ishmael. And Ishmael's there for a while, and then there was contention. And finally the Lord says, you got Ishmael, and he's got to go and go out from this house. And verse 10, we'll just start reading there. It says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude," speaking of Ishmael. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." But look at verse 12. "And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." So here, all the way back, Genesis to Abraham, the prophecy, the word from the angel, was that the descendants of Ishmael would be wild, uncontrollable, and that they would be against every man and every man against them. That shows they would be violent, they would be uncontrollable, they would just be just cause problems wherever they were. And this has come to pass. Now, the Bible foretold Islam 500 years before it came to being. I've shared this. the horse, the green horse, the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. Of course, the King James says the pale horse. But in the Greek, the word pale is chloros, which means green. And he says the green horse would have power or authority over one quarter of the earth. Now, green is the sacred color of Islam. And he says it would have power over one quarter of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, and with the beast of the earth. Who's the only group out here running around cutting people's heads off? Cutting their hands off. They said they would kill with hunger, with the beast of the earth. But here's what's interesting. It says the rider on the green horse is death. And hell follows after. I believe the most evil of the four horsemen is the Islamic demon Allah of death. And the powers that be, the elite, globalists, the Illuminati, are going to let them be their foot soldiers until they get tired of them. And then they'll go to war with them. They created them in the sense of they funded them. You know, if we'd have kept them ignorant and unarmed in the deserts, herding sheep and goats, we wouldn't be having this problem today. But we went, and the British and others, and helped them drill their oil and prosper their country and arm themselves. So Islam is a problem created by the West. We basically made our own rope to hang ourselves. Islam is a curse upon the earth. It really is. The devil said, I'm going to create a religion that will hate Jews and Christians. And he did. It's interesting when Satan, Lucifer, said, I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will ascend into heaven. When he decided he was going to try to overthrow God, the word ascend in Hebrew, the first original language, the word ascend, Allah, the very word Satan spoke in his rebellion was Allah. What do you hear them yelling while they're shooting people? Women, children, they don't care. Allah Akbar. Symbol of their God is a star and a crescent. Lucifer was called the morning star. Yep. Folks, the chaos in America and the rest of the world has only begun. This will cause instability and commotion, and I want you to go with me. We're going to go to Luke 21, and then I will try to end here. What time is it? I don't even wear a clock. I just kind of feel 12 o'clock coming on. Maybe I start sensing the hunger pains or something out there. I didn't hear any stomach growling yet. Luke 21. When they asked Jesus, what will be the signs of your coming, the end of the age? Verse 8. Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go you not after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, this word means, you can put it up, the definition, the Greek definition of commotions here. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Ak-at-as-ta-sia. Okay? It means instability, disorder, commotion, confusion, tumult. Basically the same word for chaos. The Lord says, when you see chaos, Be not terrified. Now think about that statement. The Lord's telling you, when you see this level of chaos and commotion and mayhem and bedlam and pandemonium and confusion and upheaval, when you see this, do not be terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not just yet. Meaning it's going to be so bad, so chaotic, so terrible. And it's so bad that it's terrifying to a person that does not know Jesus as Lord of their life, that they don't have Jesus as their strength, their inner strength, refuge, and fortress. And even for some Christians, it's going to be hard to not fall into fear over these things. And notice he follows this in verse 10 by saying, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." What's interesting, the word nation shall rise against nation is the Greek word ethnos, which means ethnic group against ethnic group. Kingdom against kingdom are political kingdoms, nations. But he said there's going to be problems. That's why we're seeing a rise of tensions between black and white now, really created by our own government. I mean, folks, come on. There's white cops shooting black guys that they shouldn't shoot. There's black cops shooting white guys that they shouldn't shoot. It's not race. I think the statistics that more white people get shot by police than black people, but they don't care about the truth. It's all to pit us against each other. Just because there's a bad cop makes a bad decision to shoot somebody he shouldn't shoot doesn't mean we have a race problem. It means we have an aggression problem with the cops or something. But it's always twisted in the media to pit ethnic group against ethnic group. But you have the ethnic group of the Arabs that are majority Muslim against everybody. That's why he said there will be great tribulation. Such was never since there was a nation. Here's what I'm saying to you today, and I'm going to finish with this. We were given these warnings so that we would prepare. We would recognize the times we're living in. God didn't want us to be ignorant. He didn't want us to keep playing games, so we can prepare. Your first foremost area of preparation is to get sin, compromise, lukewarmness out of your life. Love Jesus with all your heart and get close to Him and get filled with His Holy Spirit and filled with His Word and become a man or woman of prayer, because He can be your shield. He can be your defense. An army can come against you, and if you are in Him and it's not your time, that army will fail. So the first thing is, you must be saved. And you know, in 2015, the Lord told me, He said, when these convergence of Bible prophecies are happening, He also told me in 2015 to tell everybody that some people, their time was running out, that they only had a short window left. Think about the thousands that have died since. The Lord gave me this word over a year ago. Those people, their chance, their time is over. Once you die, you're either going to be found in Jesus and in heaven, or you're going to be found in sin and in hell. The death tolls from the coming chaos, terrorism, war, chaos, commotion, civil unrest, martial law, all of these things. You think the death tolls have been bad in 2014 and 2015. It's going to rise because, see, the rider on that green horse is death, obsessed with death. That's why, I mean, think about it. The two that did this in California just got married, just had a baby, but yet they're obsessed with strapping on body armor and weapons and building bombs and going out to kill people and willing to die in the process while they kill men, women, and children for nothing more than not being a Muslim. No natural affection for their little baby. Just leave it and go die while you take out as many people as you can. That incentive, look at what, in Paris. I'm going to read. This is quite scary. Perry Stone's warning he gave the other day. Perry Stone's a preacher, Church of God preacher. Now, he and I would disagree strongly about he believes in the pre-trib rapture, and that's nonsense. But he's been in the ministry a long time. He's a fourth-generation Church of God preacher. He's very well known. And so a lot of people give him information of things. And I happen to believe this as much as I don't want to believe this warning he gave here. I posted it on my Facebook page, I think last night, Perry Stone's alert, terror alert. This is what he said. This was Friday he posted this. He said, since the 1980s, groups of Muslims have been provided finances from their governments, including Morocco, to come to America getting visas and finding jobs to eventually participate in an American jihad. They are given a phone number to call. There are warehouses in all 50 states with weapons, and when the word is given, they will be given an address to go pick up their weaponry. And as one Muslim said, America will burn. When Obama opened the Mexican border, numerous Muslims, some speaking Spanish, posing as Mexican immigrants, came into America. Obama is demanding to allow Syrians, 98% Muslims, to enter America with untold numbers who could be possible terror agents. There are hundreds of sleeper cells, including cells in Knoxville, Tennessee, Lexington, Kentucky, and throughout the southeast, including in the mountains of West Virginia. Recently, two Muslims with Kentucky tags were spotted locally, videotaping numerous buildings, including churches. I received a message connected with the U.S. military that when a radical leader says publicly, last days, brother, last days, the United States won't know what hit them. They are targeting places. Around the holidays, it is time to get security in malls, schools, churches, and visit Smith & Wesson and get your conceal and carry permit. Report suspicious activity, and yes, get a security team that will profile individuals when needed. Israel is not afraid to profile anyone at any time, and this is why they have stopped numerous attacks. When a knife-wielding radical comes toward anyone in Israel to stab them, they will be shot dead by police or a packing Israeli. Christians, get your head out of the sand and realize terror has come to America and it is only the beginning. Benjamin Netanyahu told me they will use your laws to get inside the country, then use your freedoms against you. There is much, but I will restrain from sharing it on Open Page. He says, please post this to everyone to be alert in prayer. Ask God to expose these ungodly and dangerous individuals. God bless our military, and God bless all police officers who are doing their job. I am counting the days when, he says, incompetent D.C. leadership will be replaced. Well, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, right? This is no joke. I saw a report from Joe Biggs, who's with InfoWars, who went up to investigate a place in New York called Islamburg, something like that. It's a big, huge area with many houses and compounds that no one is allowed in. It's all controlled by Muslims. The police chief in the lower city who says that that's in his jurisdiction says he never hears anything. If there's a problem, they handle it all themselves. They never tell anyone. I wonder what's stored there. I wonder what's going on there. I've heard that there are terrorist training camps all over the United States, and the FBI knows about it, and they do nothing. Why do they do nothing? See, the biggest question we got to ask, why? If you know, why are they still here? Because, frankly, there are very few left in the FBI or the CIA or anything that are not on board with the New World Order agenda of the UN to cripple America and to take it over and to create a one-world government for the Antichrist. Don't think it can't happen. See, soon, let me tell you, soon, and this is another thing I felt the Lord impress upon. He said, soon, there will be some such dramatic events that even those who have tried to stick their head in their sand and deny what's happening to America won't be able to. So this is a time to strengthen your home, your food cupboard, your water, your weapons for defense, to defend your family and protect and to hunt. People say, you don't sound very Christian, Pastor Dean. You know, I've had some debates on Facebook with people who say, why would a man of God carry a gun? Well, I tell them this. I said, I believe God to provide my needs too, but it doesn't keep me from working and going to the grocery store. And the Bible also says in Timothy, he said that if a man does not provide for his own house, he is denied the faith and he's worked in an infidel. Well, we just automatically assume he's talking about providing food and clothing. Well, why do you provide food and clothing and shelter to your family? It's to keep them safe. It's to ensure that they will survive. Well, you think God's talking about just providing food and shelter and clothing, but I'm supposed to just allow a Muslim to come in and attack my family? No. Part of me providing for my family is providing security for my family, and not just for my family only. I assure you, any Muslims want to try to attack me or my family, or if I'm in public and I am armed and I see a Muslim trying to shoot innocent people, I will take them out as quickly and efficiently as possible. Most of the time when I carry my pistol, I carry it concealed. Of course, in Alabama, we can open carry. And sometimes I can't hide it good enough, or what I'm wearing doesn't hide it, so it's very visible. Well, I was in Walmart not too long ago. Clearly, a Muslim man and his wife were walking through Walmart, and we ended up in the same checkout line, but I was right in front of them. Nancy was with me, Faith was with me, and my gun was right here in plain view. That man looked at me, looked down at my gun, looked at me, and just, you could feel the hatred. And I looked at him and I smiled. And you know the communication was clear. Ain't no jihad happening right here, right now, buddy boy. The Alabama country boy will shoot you. And he knew it. They want to have their way with us. And I assure you that this Christian man, I will love you. You want to be at peace with me? We'll be at peace forever. You want to hurt my wife or my child? We're at war. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. Does a true Christian ever want to take a life? No, not ever. Are we to sit back and let them kill our children and our wives? No. Now, granted, in some of these countries, they had their guns taken away from them and they can't defend themselves. That's a different story. If you can't, you can't. Nothing you can do. Be right with Jesus. This is America. You know, Admiral Yamamoto, the Japanese fleet, in World War II, there were discussions going on about invading the United States of America with ground troops, Japanese ground troops. And Yamamoto had been in college over here. He'd gone to school here. And interesting, gone to school here, but he went back to Japan and ended up fighting us in World War II. But he advised his other generals and his emperor wouldn't be a wise decision to invade the United States. You know what he said? And I quote, he said, there is a rifle behind every blade of grass. Meaning you won't have to just deal with the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, but with every American who has a gun and will shoot you and won't have on a uniform and you won't know where it's coming from. You want a guerrilla warfare? You want guerrilla warfare in America? It can happen. Why Vietnam was such an impossibility. You can't stay in a place and fight a guerrilla warfare against an unseen enemy that walks around like everybody else, and all of a sudden they pop out with a gun or a bomb or whatever. Yeah, and you say, well, could that happen here? Yes, it could. In fact, I believe it will. Now, I'm not saying it will happen this next year that we'll be in full-fledged civil war and unrest. We may be. I just know all the Lord said to me was chaos. So brace yourselves for a new level of instability and problems in America. Even you ladies, you don't have a firearm and a pistol permit, it's time to get one. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus even said it in Luke. He told them, go sell something and buy some swords. I mean, that didn't sound like Jesus. Yeah, that was Jesus. A lot of things don't sound like Jesus, like throwing over tables and calling a woman a dog. But he did. Right? Better get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You imagine that I'm on some Muslim's list when this goes down? I imagine so. Well, you better bring a whole bunch. Number one, I got God on my side, the true God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus. And number two, I shoot straight. Amen. Man, if they came in this church, first thing that would come to their mind would be, he made a mistake. Wrong church. Let's go down the road somewhere else. Isn't it terrible that it's got to be that way? Religion of Islam is such a religion of peace that if you don't agree with them, they're going to kill you. See, you would think that our leaders, that they're insane. They're not insane. It's all calculated. They know very well what they're doing. Yeah. Let me share this dream, please. Okay. I guess I should just read this. Dean Austin and I were somewhere, and an evil guy had us and a bunch of other people held captive. He was making us run around teams and play some kind of like paintball, but we weren't actually shooting paintballs. When we got hit, we had to pretend that we were dead. There was a huge crocodile walking around where everyone was being forced to play this game. It was 19 or 20 feet long. That's a big crocodile. Anyway, people would try to give it what it wanted, and it would appear to take it, whatever it was in their hand, but then without warning, it would snap them and begin chomping them down their arm and eat them. It was a very scary situation, and I could hear the huge crocodile walking as it moved from room to room. Somehow, I snuck around and escaped, and then Austin escaped. We ended up with my dad and mom somewhere, and I was really worried about Dean not escaping because he was being aggressive toward the evil man. All right. But when she read this dream to me, it really hit me that we are, in a sense, all right now being held captive, and it's going to get worse by this, by the evil state that's coming into play, this evil one-world government. And I've been speaking out against it and will continue to speak out against it, no matter how much they try to put the clamps down on us, right? But what the Lord showed me about that dream was that that dream represented the beast, so the end-time world government, the Antichrist, wanting you to pledge allegiance to it, wanting you to submit to it, wanting you to give up your guns, give up your rights, give up your freedom, and take the mark so you can buy and sell and all that stuff. And what this was showing, the people who were trying to appease this beast got devoured and destroyed by it. The people who were not, who resisted it, either escaped or were not touched by it. See, I was resisting it, and even though I didn't escape, it didn't touch me. I'm not going to feed it. You don't placate the beast. That's why I'm saying there's no getting along with Islam. There's no, we'll just get along. I won't say you're a false religion if you won't kill me. No, we're not doing that. You're a false religion. Jesus Christ is the only way and the only truth and the only life, and he's not the Isa of your Quran. Died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's the only way to heaven. Allah is another name for Satan, the moon god of death. Real simple. So everybody listen. At some point, you're going to have to take a stand against the beast. What if they make it mandatory? Take away your gun. You gonna give it? You gonna try to placate them with that? No, they're gonna devour you. What if they say, you if you just take this mark, then we'll let you buy food in Walmart. No, they're gonna devour you. You better understand, if you identify yourself as a Christian, pretty much already too late. Because even if you try to give in to them, they're still going to kill you. Or try to. So here's the deal. You better be ready for whatever's coming your way. I've said it many times. Some of us will be martyrs, and some of us will make it through to the end. But don't become a martyr because you're stupid. Amen? Make it as difficult for them as possible. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you today, God. We praise you. We thank you for the truth of your word, the warning that we have to draw near to you, especially when we see the day approaching, the day of tribulation, the day of your second coming. Lord, you said that many things would happen before that day. Before the rapture, God, the Antichrist would have to rise to power, that there would be the mark of the beast, that there would be great persecution worldwide, that we would have to stand against the governments of the world uniting together. We'd have to stand against the economic system of the mark. We'd have to stand against their Antichrist agenda. Lord, we choose this church, and we're going to stand against it. We draw the line. We're not going any further. We will not placate or try to feed the beast or get along with the beast. There's no getting along with the beast. Lord, we make our stand with you. You are our shield. You are our fortress and our refuge, Jesus. In you we put our trust. The blood of Jesus covers us. The armor of God covers us. Lord, your power is around us. Your angels are around us. And if at some point some of us have to lay down our lives, Lord, you will give us strength and grace to be martyrs. But, Lord, some of us, Lord, you're going to defend and you're going to shield and you're going to show our enemies that you are King, that you are God, that you are Lord. And you will return to this earth. And there will be Christians still here to be raptured at the end, just like you said there will be Christians raptured at that last trumpet. So the Antichrist and the world government will not succeed at trying to kill all Christians worldwide. He's not going to succeed. there will be some here to be raptured. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for your word. We will prepare ourselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. We will do what is necessary to protect our families, our wives, our children. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Does anybody have anything else before we go? Oh, mighty sober and somber out there. I know. Y'all wanted me to give you a Joel Osteen message and tell you everything's going to be all right. All right? You know what? Ultimately, everything will be all right. If you believe, if you obey him, if you follow him, if you're found in Jesus, everything will be all right. Eternity is going to be a long time. Right now, it's a short time. Amen? All right. If you have tithes or offerings, you can send the basket on the way out. Kevin, would you close us out in prayer? Amen. All right. Y'all know the drill. Yes.